Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 30th. It's 7 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Kevin, get the dump buddy button ready. He is wound up today. Someone got their property assessment. Did you get your Form 11 in the mail yesterday, Rob Kendall?
I got mine. Everybody around me got theirs. Our listeners have in mass as this happened. So we started this in 2021. So 21, 22, 23, 24. So now this is the fourth year that this has been going on, where this time of year we start getting correspondence from our listeners in mass about these just ridiculous, totally out of control property tax assessments. And here is the thing I was pondering yesterday, Casey. How do people even afford a middle class existence anymore? Like, I'm looking at mine. And look, I'll appeal it, and everyone should totally appeal their assessment. And I have the utmost faith in the Hendricks County Assessor's Office that they'll work with me this year as they did last year. I think I found some issues, and they were very, very, very timely and forthright last year. But you open up that property tax assessment in the mail, and you start doing the math of basically whatever your assessment is, take 1% of that, and that's what you're going to owe in a tax increase the next year. It is demoralizing at a time where people are struggling to afford food. They're struggling to afford gas. They're struggling to afford to live a basic existence. They can't go out and do things. The price of everything is just astronomical. And then you get this thing in the mail that says the government didn't get any better. The government hasn't earned this. But because some idiot down the street sold his house. Now, in the case of mine, Casey, I can't even figure out, and this is how convoluted and complex the formula is. I can't even figure out how they assessed my house, because when they have the little QR code you're supposed to click that'll tell you comparable properties, it says none returned.
Oh.
So I'm guessing they just pulled it out of their ass in Hendricks County, and I guess I'll find out later. But when I went and did that, nothing. Nobody knows how this is being done. Nobody knows how this is being calculated. I monitor, Casey, you know this. Every home that is within a 1 mile radius of me, because of the fear of death that it brings to me based on what someone sells their home. And there was not anyone remotely close to me who has sold their home over the past year. I'm going to read you an email we got, and we are getting tons of them, and I love them. Rob at WIBC.com, at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter. I'm going to read you this email that we got from a listener. Hi, Rob. Love the show. My 83-year-old mother just got her notice of assessment, and her assessed value went up almost $100,000. She's lived in this home since 1978. This is absolutely ludicrous. She cannot afford to live in her home any longer. Fixed income and widowed. This is crazy. These politicians need to be ran out of town. That's from Bob.
Now, I assume that his mother did some sort of improvements on the
home. No! Like an 1978, Casey! And this is the story we hear from year after year after year after year, and we've been pleading for 4 years now for someone. There's over 100 Republicans in the Indiana General Assembly. There's a Republican governor. There's a Republican lieutenant governor. There's a Republican secretary of state. There's a Republican attorney general. There's a Republican state treasurer. There's a Republican comptroller. Any of them. One damn person to step up and pretend to care, even if you don't actually care, pretend to care about these people. That woman has lived in her home for 46 years, Casey. She's old and widowed, and now the state of Indiana has said, you're going to owe $1,000 more a year, basically. Where is she supposed to come up with that?
For staying in her home.
Yes. Think about this. My dad has lived in the same house since 1986. That is 38 years. The guy across the street from him built his house in 1978. The guy next to him also built his house in 1978. All they have done is been good citizens of the community, kept their lawns mowed, their weeds non-existent, their bushes trimmed. And for that, they're going to get another $200-$400 tax bill. Everyone down the street from us knows this is happening, Casey. And my question to those people is, When will any of you even pretend to care about what's happening to people? Because thus far for 4 years, the answer is zero. Zero people care about what's happening to the citizens of this state.
We've heard from Jamie Rittenauer that she wants to do something. She's running for governor. And also Eric Doden has said that he would like to do something for those 65 and older.
Oh, how generous of him. So maybe if you're 65 and up, maybe Eric Doden might do something for you. And, you know, Matt Hiblin and I were talking about this yesterday. And I think that there's two sides. One is the thing itself, where you now literally hate your neighbor because you're worried they're going to sell their home and screw you. Where else does that happen? What other thing is taxed based on what somebody else does? Mm-hmm. Your income isn't taxed that way. Your stocks aren't taxed that way. Your retirement isn't taxed that way. This is the only thing that is taxed that way, where what somebody else does, you're punished for. Think about, let's just again take my dad as an example. Think of the amount of money he has lost in 38 years being a stable member of the community who cuts his grass and trims his bushes and keeps his tree limbs out of the street. He's been totally screwed all these years of paying taxes for something that's never been monetized. The right. guy across the street from him, he's been screwed even more. This doesn't make any sense. So there's that component to it, where if you are a productive member of the community and you maintain your home, you are actually screwing yourself. That's number one. But number two is there's no light at the end of the tunnel on this. There's no light at the end of the tunnel because none of these candidates for governor are leading on this at all. I mean, maybe if Eric Doden wins and you're 65 and up, maybe he'll try to help you. I mean, they're not going to undo all the harm that's been done. He just simply wants to, like, freeze the assessment. Well, what about me? And look, you can hate me or whatever, but just I am a great example of middle-class Indiana. I work full-time. My wife works full-time. I live in a 1,650-square-foot brick ranch house on a third of an acre. I drive a car without power locks or windows. It's the size of a golf cart. I work a second, I guess you'd call it full-time job, probably about 16 hours on the weekends. I can't get ahead, Casey. Mm-hmm. I cannot get ahead. And don't cry for me, but you should cry for other people who aren't named Rob Kendall who are in the exact same existence.
What are you going to do? Are you going to appeal it?
Well, I'm going to appeal it. And look, again, I think I've got some legs to stand on. And last year, the Hendricks County Assessor's Office was very nice and acknowledged a mistake, and they corrected the mistake. But the onus is on the taxpayer to have to prove a mistake has been made. Mm-hmm. And then if they tell you no, then you have to appeal it to a board. Mm-hmm. And that's time and it's effort and it's resources. This is ridiculous. And the big thing is that every single person down the street from us, all 150 lawmakers and the governor and the lieutenant governor, who now has the audacity to run out and say she's going to be a voice for the voiceless. Suzanne Crouch claims she's going to be a voice for the voiceless. She's had 7 years on this topic. The last four, it's been hitting her right between the eyes to be a voice on this, which is the voiceless, the people who are struggling to. Can you imagine that woman who's got to come up with $1,000 extra dollars? Mm-hmm. For what? And nobody cares. Nobody cares. So the only thing you can do right now is vote all of these incumbents out. So Rod Bray, the pro tem in the Senate, he has a challenger, Jay Hart. He's probably dramatically outfunded, but you have an opportunity to do that if you live in Martinsville. Jeff Thompson, who's the head of Ways and Means. Those two guys alone, if you got rid of them, would send a message. Joe Baddock is running against Jeff Thompson in Hendricks County. All of these incumbents have got to go. You cannot vote for somebody like Mike Speedy. You cannot send that guy to Congress because he has been at the epicenter of this in the Indiana State House. You cannot reward these people for the bad behavior. But my bigger question is, where does it end, Casey? People are being phased out by the government, by the Indiana Republican government. This isn't Joe Biden's fault. This is not the fault of Washington, D.C. They've got their own problems, and we can talk about this, that. But this 100% rests on Republicans. Because they control everything about how property taxes are assessed and levied in this state. These crippling tax increases are the fault of the Republicans. And the front runner for governor, Mike Braun, hasn't said a damn thing on how he's going to do anything about it.
Nope. Nothing.
My heart breaks for people like that email that we got because that woman can't work her way out of that.
No.
What is she supposed to do? And nobody cares. Nobody cares.
We care. It's Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Overwatch positions. The leader of the Indiana State Police confirmed that state troopers did in fact have sniper capabilities and were positioned on rooftops at IU. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Why is this a big deal? Like, why are people up in arms over this? I mean, you've got a group of maniacs. Look at how these people behaved across the country. Look at the thing they're standing for. I mean, they're cheerleading in support of legitimate terrorist. I mean, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Now, they won't always word it like that, right? Like it's free Palestine. That is Hamas. You're supporting a legitimate terrorist organization who slaughtered over 1,000 Israelis. They started this. And these people are in blatant disobedience. They've shown across the country, look at what's going on at Columbia right now, Casey.
Yep.
Would you like to tell everybody what's going on there?
It's absolutely crazy. And at this point, when you see all the indoctrination that's going on across these college campuses, I'm starting to wonder, when is having a college degree going to be a bad thing?
I mean, you've got them, what are they, these, they're like storming institutions at Columbia.
Breaking glass to get in. I mean, you want to talk about insurrections.
I wish Doug Carter and the state police would have taken the riots of 2020 as serious as they're taking these campus protests. I wish they'd had snipers up on the building then. Might have prevented a whole bunch of stuff that destroyed this city. I wish they'd have done that then. I don't understand why this is a big deal at all. These people are to blame. These people who can't follow the law. If they'd have simply gone about it the right way, got the permits, obeyed the orders, none of this would have been happening. They are the bad guys here.
Not set up the tents, not the encampments, not the wooden structures. And again, I was saying, boy, you know what? It better not head to Purdue.
It is.
But nope, it is. There's an encampment there at Purdue as well. And, you know, my daughter's been home from school for the past week, and I'm glad. I'm glad she's home. I'm glad she's not on campus right now.
Well, and that sucks, right? I mean, that, but again, it's a kind of the same thing that we were talking about in the first segment. Good people are being punished by bad behavior. And in this case, it's someone like your daughter, who's probably somewhat afraid to go back to campus now.
She's like, no, I'm good.
And yet we just sit back and look, again, I'm the last person to ever defend Doug Carter, the state police superintendent. But in this case, why would anybody be like anything other than good move? I mean, those people are insane. A bunch of them are just crazy people.
He said that they weren't intended to be sniper positions. They were overwatch positions. Yes, they had sniper capabilities, but
what does that mean? They
learned to communicate better with people to let the public know what they're doing, because there were a lot of worried parents who saw that and were shocked by that.
Don't just say it. Why would just say it? See, this is the thing. This is why I cannot stand Doug Carter. He's always a politician. We've been through this on the Delphi stuff. We've been through this on the constitutional carry stuff. He's forever the politician. Just say it. Those people are insane. Many of them are dangerous. Many of them are unhinged. Many of them have the propensity for violence. So yeah, we had a bunch of snipers ready to go in case things got out of control. Just say it.
So IU has offered some concessions in the wake of all of the arrests at Dunmeadow. I don't know why they would concede to anything. Many people are calling for the ouster of IU's president. They want her to resign or leave or get fired or quit. And now you have faculty locking arms, protecting the protesters.
Yes. If you send your kid to IU, the faculty there is on the side of the terrorist sympathizers. Those people are on the side of terrorist sympathizers. There is very clear, this is not a freedom of speech issue. Look, they can say whatever they want. But the issue is they're not obeying the rules. They're not obeying the regulations. They're not obeying the rules of decent society that everyone should want to live by when you have to live in an ecosystem where there's a ton of people in a very small geographical area. They haven't done the things they're supposed to do. They're not special. Those people are entitled to be terrorist sympathizers if they want to be. No one is stopping them from that. They're stopping them from trying to hijack a university like we're seeing go on in Columbia right now.
They're not being brave by forbidding other people to do what they're allowed to do. So their students have paid to be there. They've paid to learn. And these protesters are stopping them from that ability. Here's some kids.
Is your kid going to walk graduation?
Well, at this point, she plans on it, yeah.
Okay, even with all this going on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the plan. Hopefully, this will all be put to bed soon.
I bet.
You know it will be done in a matter of weeks because school will be done.
That's right. They're not gonna
they'll be on summer break and they'll, okay, that was fun. Remember that one time we all protested?
Yeah.
And then they'll forget about it and move on.
Yeah, that's a great point, Casey. All right, we got to take a break because, you know, if we don't get, it's people don't know this, but it's actually in Kurt Darling's contract that he can start throwing and breaking things if we don't get to the news right at 9:30.
We've got him coming up. It's 93 WIBC. Coming up at 10:15 this morning, we're going to share some emails that we've received from our listeners regarding their property taxes and property assessments.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting it. Obviously, we started the show. I mean, the property assessments are coming in and they're just as gross as they were the year before and the year before that and the year before that. We're on year four of this now, Casey. Mm-hmm. We started this in 2021. Mock and I sat in these same positions that we're in right now, and we started reading these assessments that were coming in from people. So we are on year four of this, and the Indiana General Assembly just simply does not care. And don't let them tell you. See, the whole thing with these lawmakers, and these people are gross, Casey. These state lawmakers are gross individuals because either they're pathological liars or they don't understand how the tax system they've created works. And I don't know which one would be worse on this. But the defense is, and you hear it, like somebody sent me a correspondence he had the misfortune of having with Jerry Torr, mm-hmm. who, if you want to look up Total Zeros, is the state rep up there in Carmel. And that correspondence he had with Jerry Torr was very similar to the one Jim Lucas has been posting on his Facebook page. So either they're all this stupid together or they're all in the lie together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only two, like either they believe this stuff genuinely, which that's really scary, or they've got the talking points. Mm-hmm. And the talking point is, well, that's a local issue. Property taxes are a local thing. And then they follow it up with, well, how would we fund the schools? Mm-hmm. How would we fund the police? Like Jim Lucas, it appears, believes that if you reformed property taxes, there wouldn't be police stations and everybody would be back in one room schoolhouses. And I don't know which is more scary, but don't let them get away with that lie, because the reality is they being the Republicans in the Indiana General Assembly, 100% set how property taxes are levied and collected in this state. It's all on them. They could fix this tomorrow if they wanted to do it. Let's just give you an example of how this might have worked. Now, don't forget, was this 2 years ago? They've spent so much money, Casey, I've almost forgotten now. But remember 2 years ago, last year, one of those, we had a $6.5 billion surplus in this state.
Yep.
$6.5 billion. What did those... I can't say that. What did those individuals down the street from us do?
Keep it clean.
Now, keep in mind, remember, the law under Daniels mm-hmm. was that if the surplus exceeded $2 billion, mm-hmm. there was an automatic trigger that money, until it was back down to $2 billion, would go back to the people. There was an automatic taxpayer refund, which people actually got a couple years ago, because the lawmakers couldn't spend the money fast enough, and all the COVID money was coming in, where people got the refund. So under Daniels, the law said anything over $2 billion had to go back to the people. There was no need for the state to have more than $2 billion in reserves. So when the surplus hit the $6.5 billion, the lawmakers changed the law that said anything between $2.5 billion and $5 billion then had to be spent. And they gave specific things that had to be spent on because they didn't want you getting your money back. Think about if when we had a $6.5 billion surplus, the state of Indiana had said, that is $4.5 billion that belongs to the people. And what we are going to do is we're going to create a fund with that $4.5 billion, and we are going to offset property tax assessments. We're going to freeze them at whatever rate they were 2020, and the difference between what they're being assessed for going forward, we're going to use that $4.5 million to offset so that you, decent American, decent Hoosier, don't have these massive unpredictable property tax increases. Wow, Casey, I solved that in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And these people who are making $65,000, $70,000, $75,000 a year to work 2 or 3 months claim they have no idea how to figure this out. I solved that in 30 seconds and I got paid $0. They're not solving it because they don't want to solve it. And here's the problem. And Matt Hiblin and I were talking about this yesterday, our boss. The problem is because of the way population has changed in Indiana, nobody wants to live outside, for the most part, of the donut counties. Now, you've got the pockets of Evansville and Fort Wayne and Jeffersonville where there's still population centers. But by and large, it's the donut counties and Marion County. That is where the population, our population is not growing. It's being squeezed into a condensed area. So if you're in one of these villes or burgs or these declining places, those property taxes are not skyrocketing like the population centers because people don't want to live there anymore. So if you're a state rep there, you're not feeling the pressure on that because your people aren't feeling it. Now, you're feeling some of it, but not like the people in the population center. So they're not going to lift a finger because they don't want to piss off the local superintendent, because there's a good chance in that county or that community, the local superintendent or teachers could vote you out instantaneously. So they're not going to help. Now, in the population center, where the people should actually be fighting, Hendricks County, Morgan County, Boone County, Hamilton County, Johnson County, they are concerned because this is where the angry red-shirted teachers come barreling down to the mm-hmm. state house, and instead of doing what's right, they're too afraid of them to lift a finger, so no one's trying to help anyone. I get enraged when I see that somebody sent me that correspondence they had with Jerry Tor, where they act like, beyond me control, mm-hmm. me love to help.
If only they would do something.
Me have no idea what to do. And my point mm-hmm. on all this is we've been getting so many emails from people, Rob at WIBC.com, and I want people to know you're not alone on this. What you're experiencing, other people are experiencing, and we've got to come up with some way to put the heat on these people. And the very sad reality of this is, and this is why I've been so critical of Mike Braun, the property tax reform is going to have to come out of the governor's office. It's going to have to come the next governor, because clearly Holcomb doesn't care. The next governor should make, at his first State of the State address next year, Senate Bill 1 should be the property tax reform bill. And that should be what that person leads with, and that person should not get off of that until he believes he has the consent of the legislature to move forward with fixing it.
But they're not going to do that. They've been running on that.
This is why I've been so enraged about Mike Braun refusing to have any policy positions on anything, which tells you he doesn't give a damn either.
Right.
Remember, Mike Braun was flippantly, and we heard this from many people, was flippantly telling people that he didn't think property taxes were a big deal, that it wasn't anything we needed to worry about. It'll fix itself. We've been hearing it was going to fix itself for 4 years now, Casey. And the only reason he even began to talk about it at all, and he's still never given you a position, was when people enraged at these Lincoln dinners and pancake breakfasts and were like, what planet are you living on, buddy? I get if you're a super rich millionaire like Mike Braun, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But Braun's not going to do anything. Mike Braun has not given you a single solitary policy position other than he has stood behind the largest tax increase in the history of the state that he voted for. And he said he would do it again. Mm-hmm. And he appeared to have no idea that that tax increase goes up every single year.
You had asked me how much mine went up. You know, I've only been in my house for 2 years now. Over the past 2 years, 13% increase.
And you're getting off lucky.
Yeah.
I
feel lucky.
Yeah, you should, right?
Yeah.
The fact that we aren't even, these lawmakers aren't having a conversation about it. The fact that they're blaming other people, the fact that they're acting like they have no idea who controls how taxes are assessed or levied in the state. And it's the exact same thing that's going on in Washington. These lawmakers here love to rip on, Washington is so dysfunctional. We are so dysfunctional. Look at our government. Property taxes totally out of control. The Medicaid thing, a total debacle. Mm-hmm. Government spending has increased 37% in 7 years under the Republicans, Casey. We have a $44 billion budget for a state of 7 million people. $44 billion, and we can't figure out property taxes. Keep in mind, when they talk about, who would fund the schools? Remember, teachers are paid totally separate from property taxes. When they talk about funding the schools,
They're talking about administration.
Right, they're talking about buildings. Mm-hmm. They're talking about bright, shiny objects. All the property taxes go to the bright, shiny objects. It is just unbelievable, the total lack of leadership. So 1050, man, I just went on. It's a rant day, Casey.
Apparently.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just
get
I'm,
it out.
I'm so, it's not going to be out, Casey. You know, that'd be like.
I mean, no, but you know what? There are many people on the other side of the radio right now listening and cheering you on because they're feeling it.
And this is what I don't understand, why these candidates for governor, every single one of them, none of them actually has a concrete plan. Some of them have talked about it, but there's not one of these people who you go, man, they're really passionate about property taxes. Like they're, you know who the most passionate person about property taxes is? Micah Beckwith. He's the only person running for public office right now at a state level that is actually in there talking about this. How are six people running for governor and there's this total freebie? And think about right now, it's election week. Those assessments are hitting election week. Imagine if you had been the property tax leader.
Right. And every assessment that came in the mail would have been a promotional piece for you.
Exactly.
You said there are six people running for governor. How are there still six people running for governor?
I don't know. All right, we got to get it. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
That was supposed to just be a nice tease of what we're going to do at 10:15.
But it is the thing. It affects every single person. And it is just amazing to me that the state, who just 15 years ago, Casey, we were nationwide leaders in property tax reform. Just 15 years ago. We were leaders in property tax reform, and we did that when the Democrats still controlled part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're all Republicans, which is supposed to be the party of low taxes and limited government.
Are you having an aha moment?
And they refused to solve this issue that just 15 years ago we were total leaders on. All right, the Delphi stuff is also crazy.
There's an update on Delphi, and there's been a lot of polling that has come out in the past couple of days regarding the presidential race. So we're going to get to those coming up. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and there has been some news in the Delphi case. The Carroll County prosecutor has asked that the court restrict the defense team from mentioning some different elements in their argument to the jury. He has asked them to not mention Odianism, Keegan Klein, geofencing, or evidence of any third-party motives.
You read this motion from this prosecutor, and when you couple it with the things the judge is doing or has done, you look at the investigation into this guy, it just seems like, I mean, the prosecutor, let's just start with that, shall we? Because, I mean, there's just tentacles on this. Prosecutor is basically saying, I don't want this guy to have a defense.
That's what it seems like.
If the judge approves everything this prosecutor asked for, or the majority of it, or really any of it, he's not going to be able to have a defense. I am just amazed at how it appears everybody in a position of authority in this case has gone out of their way to say, this guy did it, we think he did it, and screw public confidence, or screw transparency, or screw honesty inside the system, or screw a fair trial. We're going to make sure this guy gets convicted for this thing. And we still have no idea what evidence the prosecution even has.
Right. So if they're saying that they can't mention all of these different things, and the judge is saying, by the way, no cameras, no recording devices. So you're right. Total lack of transparency. And I'm not coming to Richard Allen's defense on this, but I am saying that this is an indictment on the justice system. Like, he should at least have a fair trial. And that does not seem fair.
Totally. You know what this reminds me of? And there was a very famous movie made about this. Bob Dylan did a very famous song about this. Reuben Carter. Reuben Carter was the Hurricane. The movie is The Hurricane, the Bob Dylan song. Bob Dylan went and visited him in prison, wrote the song, and then Denzel Washington played him in the movie. Reuben Carter was this famous boxer who was in New Jersey and was accused of this murder. And this was back when, I mean, there was just rampant racism inside the police department, et cetera. I think Paterson, New Jersey was where it was. And they just kept going after this guy, even though there was all this evidence that appeared to say this guy didn't do it. The police became convinced, or in their mind, didn't even know they were convinced. They just said, this guy did it, we're going to pin it on him. And he kept getting tried and convicted. The convictions kept getting overturned. And the guy just couldn't seemingly ever get a fair trial because in the law enforcement's mind, we are going to prove that this guy did it. And it reminds me so much of what's going on with Richard Allen, mm-hmm. where there is some circumstantial evidence that, and the Reuben Carter thing is so similar to it, where you're like, yeah, okay, there's some circumstantial evidence that maybe he wasn't out, you know, selling Girl Scout cookies that evening, but there's just tons of evidence that he didn't do it, or it doesn't lead you to believe that he's the person. And it's like for every one thing that might say, okay, maybe he did it, there's three or four things that say, he didn't do it. The Richard Allen thing seems like the exact same thing to me, where there's just such, for what the prosecution has presented so far, such flaky evidence that he did do it. And it is like they are just insistent on jamming this square peg into this round hole. And I don't think reasonable people remotely believe that they have evidence to convict. Now, does it mean he did it or didn't do it? I don't know. Or he knows who did it? I don't know. But the reality is there are many people like me and like you who are sitting here going, I'm not saying I'm on his side because what if he is a murderer? But he's not being treated fairly. I know that.
So the prosecutors are arguing that some of this information has the potential to confuse jurors, and that's why they want to keep it out of the trial. They don't even have the jury selected at this point, but the prosecution is already saying, oh, the jury's dumb. They're not going to understand this.
That to me, and especially on a trial of this magnitude, and we've been talking about this. How is it? Has it been 2 years now since they arrested him? Whatever it's been. They're doing law enforcement, the legal system is doing things the exact opposite way of what this should be done. This is arguably the most high-profile case in the history of this state, mm-hmm. and you should be giving him every benefit of the doubt. If you have a preponderance of the evidence that shows that he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, then what difference does it make what he does? If you have the evidence, you should give him every, you know, obviously within the legal realm of possibility, leeway possible, because then
so
when
it's
he
not gets, called into question.
Right. So then when he gets convicted, you go, dude, you threw everything possible at the wall and none of it stuck and you were so blatantly guilty and I hope you fry for what you did to those girls. But yet they appear to be going the exact opposite, which is, hey, our case is so flimsy that any reasonable doubt he might be able to create, we want it stricken from the record. Again, it's very Duke LaCrosse. Mm-hmm. Remember the Duke LaCrosse thing where it was like obvious to any person, reasonable person paying attention, hey, those kids might have not been choir boys. And again, they might not have been, you know, getting up early to go to mass, but they didn't. It appears there's more evidence they didn't rape that woman than that they did. And that prosecutor just made up in his mind, I'm going to get these. It's dividing the state. It's putting these parents of these girls and the family of these girls through all sorts of hell. You've got a public who, I don't know if there's been polling done on it, but I can't imagine that there's confidence in the public at large that you feel like this guy's getting a fair trial or what's on the up and up. Does it mean everything the defense is presenting is true? Of course not. 80% of their stuff could be complete crap. But what if 20% of it is not? What if 10% of it isn't? What if 5% of it isn't? And if the 5% means he didn't do it or he didn't act alone or he was just there.
Or he knows who did
it. How did this guy? This is the question that no one has been able to answer for me. This guy is not D.B. Cooper. He's not some international, he's not the Jackal. Look at the guy. How did this guy who lives in that community supposedly commit this murder and then was right there in plain sight for 5 years and nobody figured out it was him? I mean, come on. These confessions they've got on him, he's saying the wrong stuff. He's saying things that didn't even happen in these confessions. It just blows my mind that we're led to believe this guy pulled this off. And for whatever it was, 5 years, no one figured out it was him.
So this trial is scheduled to begin on May 13th, and it will start with jury selection. All right, let's touch on some national polling really quick. Over the weekend, CBS released a new poll. They said most swing state voters say their finances have gotten worse under Joe Biden, and they agree that they'd be financially better off if Donald Trump were president. There was also a CNN poll that came out.
What was the number?
You know what? I don't have the exact number of that one in front of me. There was another another one, a CNN poll that came out. It said Donald Trump is taking the biggest lead over Joe Biden, and that does include third-party candidates. When you add the third-party candidate, Trump expands his lead. And then finally, there was a Monmouth poll that came out yesterday that says voters are sick of Biden and Trump, but aren't sold on RFK Jr. either. This is where we are, America.
You should run. The lane's wide open for you.
We've got Nikki Kelly, who's going to join us next from Indiana Capital Chronicle. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.